Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Today in the studio, I have the fabulous Stephanie Ward, business and marketing mentor and international speaker, passionate about helping business owners build successful businesses. Welcome, Stephanie. Can you start with a brief summary of who you are, what you do, and why you do it before we move on to the core of the matter?
Yes, thank you, Julie. I'm super happy to be here. I will start with the why I do it. Well, let me back up and tell you about me. Okay, so yeah. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma in the United States. I was born and raised there, lived there my whole life until I went to the University of Oklahoma, got my undergrad degree. Then I went back to Tulsa, worked for 5 years, then went back to the University of Oklahoma for a master's in communication. And then worked in several jobs in Houston and Dallas and Columbus, Ohio. But while I was living in Dallas, I was on a business trip for a conference in Orlando, Florida. And we were out with the team. And in an Irish pub, I ran into this Dutch guy. Right. He was there for a business trip too. Anyway, that's why I'm here now. That's the long story short of how I ended up here.
So you're a love pat.
I'm a love pat. I moved here in 1999. And then started my own business in 2002. And why I do the work I do, which is helping small business owners and meaningpreneurs, is I want people to be able to do what they love and make a living doing it.
I like the meaningpreneurs.
It's because it's work that you find meaningful. So it's for the entrepreneur who finds their work meaningful and it makes a difference for their clients. And so you're not just doing it for the money. You're really doing it because it's meaningful work.
Right.
And not everyone like me loves marketing. So my goal is to help people that love what they do figure out a way to market it, show up, be present and visible, connect with their ideal clients in a way that works for them. Because not everybody's the same. We have introverts. We have extroverts. We have people that like video, people that love to write. So I work with people to help them find that way that fits for them, that feels good for them. So they'll actually do it so they can connect with the client so they can make that living doing what they love.
Wow. What a meaningful thing for you to do.
Absolutely. And that's why I came to it. Honestly, I had the same experience working in a career once I got here in 1999. After 2 years working in a corporate gig here, I was like, what am I doing? I'm commuting 2 hours a day each way for a job that I don't find meaningful. I don't like. There has to be something more to life than this. So I went in search of my own meaning, and that's how I started my own business.
Fantastic. And I do know that what you do is extremely valuable and that, as you say, everybody is different. So, I mean, you're a marketing guru, but it's not one model fits all. It's you really find what's in line with the personality and the way of being of your client. Right. Well, thank you very much for that. And you're a person who, though extremely busy, does have this aura of having, well, your meaning and staying sane. And that brings me to the topic of today, which is one close to my heart and not a theme exclusive to either business owners or, for that sake, to our Fabulous After 50 tribe. And that's namely staying sane in the hectic 24/7 world of today. You know, how to keep the big picture when we're bombarded with information, stimulus, details, how to even know what we think when we race from one thing to another, how to know what we feel when we've got no time to check in with ourselves. So you are a busy woman, you're a busy entrepreneur, you've coached many busy business people, and of course, you're a member of the Fabulous After 50 tribe. So what's your advice? How do we keep on top of it all?
It's a great question. It's difficult, and it's, again, another thing that's probably going to differ for each person depending on their personal situation. And I will say the one thing that I think has been the most valuable to me is two things: nature, getting outside, taking breaks, frequent breaks, but it's more about creating space.
Right.
So you were talking about this going, 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 busy, busy, busy. It's if you don't consciously schedule and think about and create time for space, which means you go to the place that makes you happy. Mine is nature, but maybe yours is something else. It could just be, you know, that you read poetry. It can be anything that creates space for you, but that you actually stop and slow down and create that room in your life to allow things to settle, allow ideas to come, allow problems get solved when you create space. And I think many people overestimate how much time it takes to get something done. So I always tell people, you know, like double the time that you think it will take, put that in your agenda.
Right.
And then also book space one day a week, a whole week per month, if you can, to only work on your business, or if you don't have a business, to develop your skills as a professional.
Right.
For a company, but to take that time to step back, that 30,000 view, helicopter view, to look from a distance at what you're doing. Otherwise, you're completely caught up in the rat race and you're never in the moment.
I agree. So what do you say to people who say, yeah, but wait a minute, you know, I'm just so incredibly busy. What do you mean? I mean, you mentioned one day a week, which then sounds very much. But even if we're talking about on a daily basis, how much time do you step out?
Well, I started in 2019, October, I started meditating twice a day, 15 minutes in the morning and the afternoon. I read a book called Stress Less, Accomplish More. It's wonderful. You can do it anywhere. You don't need special music or anything. You just need to be able to sit down somewhere. So that's 30 minutes a day. And then I go out every day for a walk, usually around lunchtime, for somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour. So that's an hour and a half right there. And the way I look at it is, people that say, well, I don't have time. There's some quote or expression or proverb, you know, if you're really busy, then you need to meditate for 30 minutes. But if you're super, super, super busy, you need an hour. So it's like, if you don't have time to sharpen the saw, you know, the Stephen Covey quote, you're sawing with a dull saw. It's not going to get you anywhere.
That's right. And what he also says, if I remember well, is you might end up realizing that the ladder's not against the building you wanted to climb in the first place. So it's first, you know, taking that time to really think, am I on the right path? Am I leaning against the right building to climb?
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
So it's an investment, right? It's actually not taking away from what you need to do or to accomplish, but it's to invest in your own creativity, or to invest in, I mean, we work the best when we're in a good state, right? When we're stressed with so many other things. I mean, the quality of our work or whatever it is that we're trying to do cannot be as good as one coming from a place of peace inside.
That's 100% my experience, that it is an investment, and it actually, you perform better when you are clear and you take time away. And honestly, I find, as I mentioned before, I get ideas, I get answers.
Right.
It's so many things happen when you're just literally walking in the woods, just looking around and being one with nature. And it's amazing how much it seems counterintuitive, and people, you know, this whole busy is a badge of honor. I'm so against that. And the whole hustle culture. You can be productive and also take time and, you know, invest in yourself and make sure that you're coming from a place of calm, because when you are calm and peaceful, you make better decisions.
True. And also, I think, you know, we get caught up, as you say, I liked your badge of honor expression, the ego speaking, and we have to be busy, busy, busy. Yeah. But then, you know, we're not there for other people. You know, people ring you up and have something that they need to say, or they're worried about something, and they can tell, even if you're trying to be friendly, they can tell that it's like, okay, you know, you've got 2 minutes of my time. I think it also makes us remember what matters most. Is it finishing the assignment on time, or is it actually being there for the child in need or the friend who's, you know, having a breakdown? And maybe it's half an hour less on your assignment, but I think at the end of the day, you're going to feel better for having been there for a person than for your assignment.
For sure. I mean, that study about what the regrets of the dying, I wish I would have worked more, so connecting with people, that's one of the most important parts of what I talk about in my work. Is if you don't like the word marketing, use the word connecting. But this also applies for professional women in companies. It's also important to network and have a core group of people around you, but it's all about connecting, building relationships over time to develop your business or to develop your career.
Yeah.
If you think about it, every job you've gotten, every, you know, introduction you've made, it's from people that you've connected with, you've spent time with, invested in, and then they think of you and they're like, oh, that's the person for this. Let's call Julie. She was, you know, so it just, it's all about relationships.
I totally agree with you. I mean, that's actually what I built my own business on, the Kennedy Connection. It's all about connection and communication with yourself and with others. And that to me is where happiness is. It's when we're connected with who we are by having taken time to make space to find out who that is and to make sure that when life pushes us off balance with whatever life throws at us, I mean, we can't control that, but that we at least know how to get back to that connection with ourselves so that we can better connect with others and hence contribute to the good of the whole. Now, two things I'd like to pick up on what you've said. So one was the idea of the morning and evening meditation. So there I'm thinking, okay, ritual, I'm thinking, you know, almost that you don't ask yourself the question. It's a bit like sometimes too busy to brush my teeth, but I still do it because yeah. I know that it's good for me, that it's an investment in the health of my teeth and I don't want to have to go and have them all pulled out by the dentist. So that's one thing that I want to talk about. And then the other is that concept of nature and why nature? Mm-hmm. So is that how you operate when you have your mindfulness moment? Is this like a built-in ritual that you know is going to make you the most actually productive?
Absolutely. It's amazing. I mean, when I first started, of course, you don't know, right? It's brand new. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, is this going to work? Is this worth it? And I just kept doing it. And like I said, she makes it really easy because there aren't any barriers. Like you have to be in this space or with this type of music. Or you can do it anywhere. Literally, you can do it I've done it on a train. You can do it anywhere you are. It doesn't matter. So that makes it easy and accessible. And I can feel the difference. I can tell if I don't do it that something's missing or something's off and I'm, you know, you're more calm, you're more clear. I mean, it really has worked for me. And it's not just me, of course. You read everyone, but so many people are doing
it. But the meditation or mindfulness, maybe, would you say mindfulness is also, I mean, is it meditation as in, are you listening to a spoken message?
Yeah, it's Emily Fletcher. It just came to me, the lady's name of the book.
Okay.
I'll just briefly describe it, but just so in case anyone's interested. So basically all it is, there's three parts. And the first part is mindfulness, getting into the moment. So the first couple of minutes, you just connect to all your senses, what you're seeing, with your eyes closed, smelling, tasting, hearing in your body. Then you just breathe in and out using a word. And I just use the word one. Mm-hmm. In, out, in, out. And at the very end, so the last 2 minutes, then she does the piece where you're basically manifesting, thinking about what you want to have happen.
Okay.
And being great. And I also add in being grateful for things like my health and things like that. And that's literally it. So there's three parts. So you just the beginning of mindfulness in the moment, then just the breathing with the one word, and the ending with the manifestation of what you want to make happen and gratefulness.
And then the evening is exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. You just do it twice a day for 15 minutes. That's it.
Sounds very good. I like the fact, I think, that it's guided. I know lots of people manage to meditate. I'm actually an SGI Buddhist, so I chant in the morning. And that has the same effect. However, I always feel I'm busy doing something. You know, I'm chanting or I'm reciting the Gongyo. It is what works for certain people. Sometimes having your head empty actually makes you come out of there before you learn to control it even more stress because you're angry at yourself for not managing to keep focusing on your breath and you're thinking about all the other things that you're supposed to be doing. But as you say, it is one of those investments that when it becomes a ritual, you don't actually ask yourself the question. I like the idea of this one and I'm definitely going to look it up. I've written it down, Emily Fletcher. I literally get up and I do my 10 minutes of yoga, which I've now added a series of push-ups and abs just because it makes me feel better.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And then I do my chanting and that's just how it is. Yes, it does make me get out of bed, let's say 40 minutes earlier than I would. But as you say, I don't feel ready for my day without it. I feel bodily, I feel, you know, that I've, you know, got in touch with myself and stretched, etc. And mentally, I feel that I've focused on what's important. And it's all also about compassion, contribution. And that's the SGI Buddhism way. Okay, so that's, I think, something which would definitely look into. Now I want to come to your lunch walk, and I myself am a huge believer in the lunch walk. Now, nature. Okay, so if you're lucky, you have nature close to you, right? You have a wood, you mentioned.
I do. I'm so lucky. It's this beautiful forest. I live next to the Veluwe, which is a Dutch
beautiful
word,
area.
But it's an area. Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. Every time I look around and I just can't believe, sometimes it feels like a fairy tale. Yesterday, in fact, we saw two huge buck deer with a female and two small ones. And
what a gift.
You stand there and you just, all time disappears and Yeah, it's really beautiful.
And so, we're talking here about nature. We're not talking about exercise, right? So you're not pounding the turf and jogging through the woods.
I'm walking. Yes, which is movement. And walking is actually quite healthy for you. It's good for your joints if you're not a runner.
Lots of people say it's actually better for you. Fast walking is better.
Exactly.
I'm a runner and I have, I don't know how many joint problems.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So there is an aspect of a physical movement is always good.
Right, so we're breathing, we're getting the blood circulating, yes, etc. But what is it about nature?
I'm reading a book about trees, the hidden life of trees now. I love trees. I think it's I'm not sure what it is, honestly. It's connecting maybe back to our most core elements of just being one with all the other things, and also the beauty of it, the wonder of it. Every year, I was raised, like I said, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a four seasons kind of climate, and the Netherlands is also four seasons. And I'm always astonished when the leaves in the winter, there's nothing, just bare bones and sticks, and now everything's blooming again, and it's just a miracle. And how do all the trees, how do they know what to do? They drop seeds and they become trees. It's just, to me, I find the wonder and the beauty of it makes me feel inspired for my business, for my life. I mean, it's like a sanctuary. It's just calm, it's serene, it's supportive, it's miraculous, it's
magic. I've often asked myself the question as well, you know, what it is. I'm quite a high intensity person. And I know that, for example, I also love the sea very much. And
yes,
I always try
too
to live near the sea. And to be honest, I love the sea the most at its wildest. And I think it's because it actually soothes me, because it makes me feel small. It makes me feel that all that tension and all of that is nothing. It's rubbish. It's you know, I have this huge monstrous sea crashing and again and again and again, and it soothes me by, I think, how big it is. And I remember, for example, I lived a lot in Africa and the Serengeti and things like that. You're just overwhelmed by the hugeness of it all. And it is, I think, also, as you were saying, that connection with, well, first of all, nature is the most intelligent microcosm or whatever it's called that exists.
Yes.
I mean, we spend our whole life trying to understand how to tap into the intelligence of nature, and how does it know, and how does it adapt, and how does it change? I mean, it's like even in art. I mean, when you look at so many art things, all we're desperately trying to do is reproduce the perfection of nature, of a butterfly. I watched a stunning program last night on the television about our planet, you know, filmed in very close and I mean, it was just, it's perfection, something that we don't know with all of our technology and advancement. We don't know how to do it like that.
No.
So I think it is that that sort of feeling of universe, of being small but part of something big, and that, you know, to just let go, to just be, you know, like to be like a tree, not complicate your life with 8 million, you know, torturous thoughts which serve absolutely nobody and if anything hold you back. And I did like, but I suppose that's perhaps more also the Buddhist in me, what you said about the seasons. You know, as you know, life goes on. In Buddhism, we sort of say spring always comes after winter. However hard the winter is, spring will come, obviously, if you're in a four-season country. But it's just also that sense of renewal, you know, birth, life, then the autumn, and then death, and then comes birth, and life, and the autumn, and death. And it's that we take our little selves sometimes maybe far too much out of proportion in the importance we're giving to all of that. It doesn't make us happy. I mean, if it made us happy, I mean, fair enough. You know, well, what are we here for? We're trying to live as happy a life as possible. Mostly that means contributing, I believe. You know, after a certain age, we realize that it's not so much about us. It's about us feeling that we're meaningful and purposeful in what we're doing. But it's that whole idea of just letting go. That doesn't mean not doing anything, because when I said that to somebody the other day, sort of said, yeah, but wait a minute, you mean just vegetating, you just sort of wait for life to go by? No, it's not at all that. It's about knowing who you are, knowing the direction you want to go. So let's say what you want to be remembered for, you know, if we want to use Stephen Covey here as well, and it's then, you know, trying to stick to that path, but living a happy life. I mean, none of us, or very few of us, I suppose, are here for pain and anguish. And it's how do you get there, which is what we're talking about here, is that we do live in this modern 24/7 society. There are lots of societal demands on us as well. I mean, whether as a woman, you're supposed to still look good and be fit and after your children and have a career and have time to meditate and all of that, or whether it's just that sort of mill that we get into. And it's how do we stay us and sane through that. So if we wanted to put this in tips, what tips would you give? I know you're specialized in business people, of course, and entrepreneurs, and of course, people who want to find out more about that side of things can contact you about that. But do you have any tips which, let's say, general to all of us to how mm-hmm. to navigate this life?
Sure. Well, I just wanted to pick up on one thing when you were talking about the vastness and the wonder and the amazement of nature. I think it's really about also taking perspective, which you were really pointing to, is really putting the whole thing into perspective. Right. We're just these little humans on this ball spinning around in this universe. Yeah. It's ridiculous if you think about it. So it helps you just put everything in perspective and add some proportionality of, okay, really, is it this big, you know, is this that big a deal? Whatever yes. you think such a big problem. It helps you go, okay, that's really not that big of a deal. And also realize, again, what is most important? Connecting with people, contributing, making a difference. So as far as tips go, I think it's important to decide what productivity and what accomplishment means for you, and also to decide what's enough. There's a wonderful book called The Soul of Money by Lynn Twist. You know, more isn't always better.
Right.
And what is enough for you? So as a corporate woman or as a business owner, what is enough? What is enough recognition? What is enough money? Because if you know what that is, then it also creates space, because you can see, oh, there is a finite way when I can say, yeah, I'm good.
It's a very wise thing to say.
She's wonderful, Lynn Twist. It's a great book. And that once you're clear on that, then to really design your life, don't let your life lead you. So decide how you want to spend your time. Decide what time you want to get up, what time you want to go to sleep. I love what you said about brushing your teeth. Probably nobody lets that go. So just equate your self-reflection time, whatever you want to call it, to that. Would you skip brushing your teeth? No, then don't skip this.
Yeah.
And so decide what you want your life to look like and how much time you have to invest in it. Because honestly, your to-do list as a corporate woman, as a business owner, it never gets smaller. It just gets bigger and longer. Yeah, so you never finish it, and you have to be one with that. So you just know, okay, it's there. And so I will begin where I am and do as much as I can. And that's also connected to the tip of staying in the present moment.
Right.
Because that's the only place life happens.
Yeah. The past, the only place we can be happy.
The only place you can be happy, worrying about the past or stressing about the future. Those things are not happening right now. What's happening right now, the only thing that's happening in my life right now, is I'm having a conversation with you. There is no other thing happening.
Yeah.
Ladies in chairs talking.
Yeah.
As Byron Katie would say. So it's just really staying in the moment and living your life in the moment and appreciating what's around you in this moment, which could literally mean looking up from your computer, looking outside and seeing that flower and just looking at it for a minute.
True. And that's good also, because one of the things I was going to say is, you know, we're both lucky in having nature close by, but not everybody is, right? We might have people listening to us now who are really in the concrete jungle. But what you've just said is so true, because everybody can find a flower to look at.
Yes.
Everybody, even in a concrete jungle, can find the sky. You know,
absolutely.
Look up at the sky, look at the clouds, look at the beautiful blue, if you're lucky to have a beautiful blue. But if not, look at the clouds, look at how they move and go on, look at how big the sky is. And it's almost what we call our nature, right?
For sure. Absolutely. There's beauty and wonder everywhere if you look for it. If you just get still and slow down and pay attention. Yeah. And that's a key commodity. You know, where are you giving your attention? Another tip is, be conscious of what you're giving your attention to and really think about, is this something I want to invest my time and energy? And if not, stop doing it.
I think that's the advantage in a way of our tribe, isn't it? The 50 plus is that somehow, I don't know, if you'd have said that to me when I was 20, I'm not sure I would have understood what you meant. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so caught up in ourselves and our careers and in maybe finding a partner, maybe having a family, maybe it's all somehow us. And that isn't necessary. There's nothing wrong in that. I mean, all these different stages we've been through have brought us to where we are now. And you know, that we need to go through them. There needs to be, you know, more children. There needs to be, you know, an age where you're focusing mostly on yourself so that you can become a better person and mature and go through the different stages. But I think it is the wisdom that we get, that we realize, you know, of who we are and the responsibility we do have, but also of how little we are. And, you know, of how a little speck, we all contribute our own little, you know, grain of salt to the big picture, and that we shouldn't let ourselves get weighed under all of this, you know, feeling of having to do and having to achieve. And, you know, we're doing in our society so much. It's mm-hmm. doing.
Right.
Are we just what we do? I hope.
No. 100%. And that's a very important key, is the being aspect. Who do you want to be in this world?
Yeah.
And I will give you a link to include with the notes. I wrote a little book called 100 Things to Be Before You Die, as a twist on all the things to do.
Yes.
And it's free. I've given the digital version for free in a blog post. So I'll link that to you. But...
Oh, wonderful. This sounds exactly like the thing that I love.
Wow. Yeah, that key about just the being and just two more really quick tips is to ask for what you want.
Right.
Ask for what you want, no matter what it is in your personal life, relationships, work, business. Ask for what you want.
So do you mean ask as in ask when you're meditating and when you're manifesting, or do you mean literally ask somebody?
I mean literally ask for what you want. Pick up the phone, send an email.
Okay.
Ask for what you want. And also take action, because I mean, don't wait till it's perfect. It will never be perfect. There's nothing to wait for. Just go right ahead, please. And because action creates momentum. So no matter what it is, ask for the raise, ask if the client wants to work for you, ask the question, take action and ask, because honestly, one of the best ways to learn is by taking action. And sometimes you can't find out what you need to know for the next step unless you do take action. So be brave. Don't worry. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. So it's a muscle. It's a bravery muscle you can build. So just continue to ask. And then that thing that you're thinking about right now that you've been wanting to do, do it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, those were absolutely amazing tips. Very much food for the soul. Stephanie, thank you very much. Now, for the business owners out there, knowing that you're a coach specialized in marketing for businesses, where can they get hold of you?
They can go to fireflycoaching.com. That's my website. I have a free report there called Steps to Attract More Clients in Less Time. You can download that for free. You can follow me on Instagram, Firefly Coaching. Connect on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect on LinkedIn. Stephanie Ward there. And if you have any questions, feel free to send them to me.
Oh, fantastic. Stephanie, thank you so very much. And I am very much looking forward to reading that book. It sounds fantastic. Thank you, Stephanie. Right. For the rest of you out there, I mean, I hope that you have been taking notes, or that you are going to really take on board what Stephanie has shared with us today. Because to be honest, it sounds like a recipe for a happy life to me, the tips that she's shared. And whether it's, you know, the taking the breaks, the connecting to nature, whichever small bit of nature you find, being present in the moment, being rather than letting doing define who you are, asking for what you want and taking action, because without action, nothing is going to change. So what are you going to change out of what you heard today? What ritual are you going to put into place every day to make sure that you make space to reconnect with yourself and to what is important for you in order to be more productive in your life? So I wish you all the very best with that. I am very much looking forward to putting it into practice and to reading Stephanie's book. Take care out there, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.